Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now, Miss Manners, Minds Your Business. That's the latest book title from the actual Miss Manners, Judith Martin, and her son, Nicholas Ivor Martin. It's Dear Miss Manners questions and answers to her gentle readers about your behavior and that of your colleagues at work. Judith and Nicholas, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you
very
much.
Good morning.
And listeners, if you need some help right now with a workplace etiquette question, Miss Manners and Son will listen to your dilemmas, conundrums, and exasperations and see if they can help. 212-433-WNYC. Call right in, 212-433-9692. And as people are calling up, can I start with an example from the book that I found especially entertaining? I'll just read through this, and the Miss Manners uninitiated can get an idea of how this goes. This is from page 253 in your section called Let's All Be Friends. Dear Miss Manners, in my day-to-day business, I have meetings with men who are quite a bit older than I am. I am 27. During the course of our business meetings and lunches, the same old questions arise. How far do you plan to go with your company? How long are you going to work? Do you have any children? When are you going to have children? What is a nice, pretty girl like you doing working in this business? These questions cannot be tolerated much longer. Any suggestions you could give on politely letting my business contact know that they are embarrassing, inappropriate, and most of all, none of their business? And you reply, gentle reader, what are such gallant gentlemen doing in business? You might ask them that, politely, of course. Other questions, examples? Oh, is there more turnover in the field than I had thought? Do you anticipate leaving your company? No, I don't have children. Do you have children? Why do you ask? Is your wife expecting a baby? So I love that, the sarcastic turnaround question.
Thank you. Yes. Well, we figure if they think it's polite, surely they would enjoy getting such questions in return, the gallant gentleman.
And I'll bet we have many women listening who have felt similarly aggrieved and that you must get questions like this a lot. And I love that list of sarcastic turnabout responses. But were you just having fun, or do you really think women in the workplace or anyone can get away with sarcastic turnabout answers?
Well, you don't say it sarcastically. You say it with wide open eyes. And it's, after all, basically the same questions that were just asked. Why shouldn't they get away with it if the gentlemen get away with it?
All right. Let's do one more as the calls are coming in. Here's another example I picked out from page 68 of the book, which I am turning to. And it's, Dear Miss Manners, I am 23 years old, and I get very offended when salespersons and clerks address me as ma'am. Am I correct in my assumption that it would be more appropriate to address me as miss? As I am unmarried, have no children, am under the age of 30, is it appropriate for me to gently correct such offenders? That's the exact opposite of the other question.
Yes, it is.
And you took her to task.
Well, yes. That's sort of my job, isn't it? Because, after all, why would people discourage dignities? And does she really want them investigating how many children she has or does not have or whether she's married?
And, Nicholas, let people know your role in this. People know your mom is Miss Manners, but you in your own professional life, a man who works in the workplace in his own right.
Indeed.
Have been publisher of Washington Monthly Magazine, worked at the White House, wrote the DiCapo Opera Manual, and you're now director of operations at the Lyric Opera of Chicago. How does all that lead to co-authoring a workplace etiquette book?
Well, I've seen workplaces in many different forms, the for-profit, the not-for-profit, the government, and it was funny when we started working on it how common the problems were across the board. We saw a lot of confusion about, frankly, personal versus business manners. People didn't realize they were different.
They're different?
They use the reverse manners in each place. So on the job, you go around celebrating people's birthdays and buying shower presents. And if you want to, in your private life, if you want to fall in love, you take out an ad and you interview candidates quickly.
Doesn't sound that different to me. Jennifer in Glen Cove, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. My question is about gum chewing. I have a colleague who chews gum vigorously and with his mouth open, and he's a good-looking guy. It's horrifying. I've also been in meetings with people who are actually cracking gum, and I just find the habit bovine and perplexing.
Yes, we get these questions all the time. People next to you are not necessarily good-looking, are cracking gum, or they're eating smelly food, or they smell themselves, or et cetera, et cetera. You have to do it in a way that saves face for the person.
Mm.
So you say, you know, sometimes I misunderstand you. I think it's the gum. Here, and give them a piece of paper so that you want to get every golden word this good-looking gentleman says, but you can't quite get it while he's blowing pink bubbles in your face, can you?
No, you can't, and that's actually an approach I'm not sure I would have taken, so thank you. I'll try it.
That's great. 212-433-WNYC. One of the questions in the book, which I won't read all the way through, asked, how long is too long to reply to an email or a text message? And especially with text messages, and I see there's a lot of sort of new media, social media substance in the book. One of your gentle readers said people were complaining that she took too long to respond.
Well, it depends on the content of the message. If your message says the building is on fire, you should probably respond right away. If it says, well, what are we going to do about that project that's due next June, you can take a little while. The expectations keep growing with the speed of the technology, and it should be the content.
And funny, it's not a new problem. It was a problem you discovered when we first had voicemail and people were asking about whether it was – there was the expectation that when someone called you on the phone, you were to jump up from the middle of dinner and answer it. And your point was, no, there are times when you're not available. And the same is true with texts and emails.
The answering machine works for me. I don't work for it.
Exactly.
Yes.
The old answer in the answering machine days. Marion in Yonkers, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello there, and I thank you for having this program. What concerns me right now is there's a not-for-profit that I work for, and it's just been discovered that one of the leaders in it has been coming to work drunk and actually has been covering up this alcoholism for a long time, and some elders have been aware of it and have done nothing about it. And so it does explain why, you know, certain initiatives we have been failing.
So is the question, what's the right thing for you to do?
Yeah, because we don't have a policy where, like a Fortune 500, where the person has to be sent out to rehab and can only come back on the condition of a doctor's note and sobriety and all that. We don't have anything like that.
Serious question, Martins.
Well, it's one that the United States Congress had that problem for a long time. Nobody did anything about it. If a powerful congressman showed up drunk, everybody pretended not to notice. You approach that as a health problem. And you say, we notice that you have problems stumbling, that you seem to have speech problems. Can we help you with this? And then you turn them over to somebody who says, get this person out to rehab.
Good luck with that, Marion. And Louise in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Brian. My question is about sensitivity in terms of the way people dress. I teach in an adult classroom, and sometimes students come in with very low-cut tops, female students, and the classroom is very ethnically mixed, women and men from different cultures. I don't know how to address that. And we do have guidelines in our student handbook, but they seem to be ignored. Any advice?
Don't worry about the ethnic aspect of the problem. People use that as an excuse. There is no culture that I know of that says, come lewdly dressed to school. You have your rules, and you should enforce the rules. They have to be spelled out very carefully for students who believe that they are expressing their creativity with their clothes. But the ethnic excuse of something that is universally condemned should not work.
Marianne in Lynbrook. You're on WNYC. Hello, Marianne.
Hi. I was wondering,
How can you nicely tell a person not to wear too much perfume if they're going to be in an enclosed space, even like a movie theater, if you have to sit next to someone for a few hours with a lot of perfume, or in your office?
Well, I don't know how you would tell someone at the movies to go home and take a bath and come back without
true,
the perfume.
Yeah.
You can't do that there. In the office situation, you say, that's a fabulous perfume. Unfortunately, I really can't enjoy it because I get an allergic reaction, and I'm so sorry. Or I get a reaction. I don't want to overuse the excuse of allergies. So you do it, again, in a face-saving way.
Yeah.
Marianne.
Okay.
Good luck.
I will try that.
Good.
So, Nicholas, you want to talk more about this idea that there's personal etiquette and there's workplace etiquette, and sometimes we get them confused. Are they really so different?
They are absolutely different. One of the things when we were setting out to do the book is we found that people were afraid to talk about money at work, particularly women in the workplace, because this was somehow unladylike or unacceptable. And rather than the entry of women into the workforce changing their behavior to understand that there is business etiquette, the men changed their behavior. It was stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. It used to be that women, you were either a lady or you weren't, and we know what that meant. But a gentleman, an officer and a gentleman, or a gentleman and a scholar, you behave differently. An officer might behave differently on the battlefield than he would in the drawing room. But women did not have the benefit of being credited for that. And as Nicholas says, the influence went in the wrong direction of let's all be friends and let's be social and happy birthday and all the idea that if you all became close and friend, you would all love one another. That was a 60s idea that is unfortunately still with us, and it does not explain divorce, does it? You know those person quite well.
and it had terrible repercussions at the workplace when people were fired or left and suddenly found that people they thought they were their friends are no longer calling and talking to them.
Can you tell me in our last 30 seconds, tell your fans how you first became Miss Manners? How does one declare oneself an arbiter of things polite? They don't have that major in college, as far as I know.
No, they do not. It's sort of, you remember Napoleon had to crown himself because there was no one sufficiently high to do it. I had to crown myself.
Miss Manners, Mind Your Business by Judith Martin and Nicholas Ivor Martin. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great fun. And
delightful
good
to be here.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder to join us beginning Monday for our election year series, 30 Issues in 30 Days. We'll kick it off with Education Week and a conversation about New York City public school reforms with Diane Ravitch. Education Week on The Brian Lehrer Show begins Monday morning.